Today is Veterans Day, a day of remembrance that sprung from the end of World War I. The armistice was signed on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. Since then, nations commemorate that event with a moment of silence. That moment of silence punctuates the air and focuses everyone's attention to the heroism of those who have served, those who are currently serving, and those who died in service to our country. We don't mark this day as a day of celebration of victory, but rather as a celebration of those who made victory possible. It's a day we keep the brave men and women, our nation's veterans, in our mind. These people stand out as friends and neighbors in our communities. The lawyer, the truck driver, the sheriff's deputy, the nurse, the teacher, or the tax advisor, as those who do not stand on the sidelines. They volunteer to train, sacrifice, and perform under pressure whenever and wherever needed. These men and women do not sit back in silence, but stand as one against a chaotic world to try and bring about peace. To all of them, today's veterans, and to the families of the fallen, there is no tribute, no commemoration, no praise that can match the magnitude of your service and your sacrifice. But we offer a humble moment of silence. Thank you for listening. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Help good businesses get better by hiring today's veteran.
Come back. Welcome back to Minnesota, the special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. We're broadcasting live from the Inver Grove Heights Armory, which is going to be the location for the official State of Minnesota Veterans Day event, 10 a.m. this morning, with a free breakfast from 8:30 to 9:30. In this third hour, my co-host is a good friend, another person from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Mike McElhenney. Mike, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Morning, Tom. Thanks for having me today.
Mike is the currently the legislative director of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, but I want to go back and talk to you a little bit about your military career. How many years were you in the military, Mike?
Well, Tom, I served 21 years in active duty, and I had kind of a colorful, career within those 21 years. I started off in the 3rd Infantry Division and served about 5 years in Germany. And then I went and joined Special Forces and pretty much rode that out the last 16 years. But part of that last 16 years was serving here as a member of 5th Special Forces Group, but working with the Red Bulls here in Minnesota for a few years.
And you were a Green Beret, I understand.
That is correct.
And you and your team played a special part in Afghanistan in bringing President Karzai back to the country.
That's correct, Tom. Actually, it's a little known detail that Hamid Karzai actually traveled into Afghanistan on the back of a motorcycle, him and about three other guys early on, and then he was later secured by the United States, and then we planned an insurgency, and our team was the first team to go into southern Afghanistan and bring Hamid Karzai back in with us.
That was a pretty special mission, wasn't it?
It was.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. More from the official state program in Inver Grove Heights next.
Up and at 'em.
On Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
Welcome back to our special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military. The official state of Minnesota Veterans. Going until 9:30. We had a little difficulties there, but we're back with Mike McElhenney, who is the legislative director of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and we were talking about his service as a Green Beret in Afghanistan. And Mike, we were just talking about you going back into Afghanistan and bringing President Karzai in on the back of a motor scooter.
Yeah, actually, he infiltrated the country from Pakistan himself on the back of a motor scooter with three other gentlemen, and it was later, a few days later, that he was pulled back out by U.S. assets and sort of recommissioned for the insurgency that was to grow in southern Afghanistan.
pretty important mission then, wasn't it?
Big mission. Huge infiltration package. It was pretty significant, the amount of aircraft and assets to make not only the infiltration happen, but also just everything that was going on in the country at that point in time.
And as I recall, you told us that he had to kind of win back over some of his people and show them that he could be presidential material.
Yeah, he actually had, I think, a lot of local support, support established in the Kandahar region and Orzgan province, the southern portion of Afghanistan. So, but yeah, later, for him to maintain that credibility, he had to prove that he was, in fact, had some military wherewithal. He was able to bring the fight with him through us, and that was what I think it really took to establish his credibility once again as not his father, but Hamid Karzai himself.
So you and your team got him back in and had some heavy fighting and got him back established in the country and kind of had a tough outcome, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. Last few days, what happened, the entire team was wounded and several members were killed. We were on the tail end of about a 20-hour intermittent battle just north of Kandahar. We were essentially fighting over the last piece of key terrain north of Kandahar, which was a bridge. And, bombs were flying. Things were happening, and one came a little bit too close to where the team was positioned and did a lot of damage. A lot of people were killed and wounded. But, you know, at the end of that, hours later, the Taliban had come to surrender, and most of us by that time were being flown back to a hospital in Oman and moving to Germany. And so, you know, at the end of the day, we accomplished what we set out to accomplish.
And the long version of that story can be found at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com by going up and using the search button and type in Mike McElhinney, because he was in about a year ago and told us all about that day and all about that mission, which was a very important mission in the history of Afghanistan. Mike, after that, how'd you find your way to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
Well, really, I was wounded. I continued to serve. Some things on the side of my wife's career brought us to Minnesota, and I was still serving in the military. I was able to come up and serve with the Red Bulls the last few years before I retired. And then when I retired, it was a natural progression to come to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and work for veterans.
Mike, is Veterans Day a special day for you?
It is. It's a unique day. I think we've heard several times today about the history and where it started and the evolution over the years. It's different than Memorial Day. Memorial Day is more of a somber day to remember those that gave so much. But today is a happy day. I think it's a pretty joyous day. You know, we're here at this great event, the state event for Veterans Day, and we get a great crowd here. It grows every year. There's children in here and it's neat to see the kids come in and kind of gain perspective and a historical perspective on what this day is all about. But it's really all about the veterans and everyone that served, the veteran service organizations, all the really fun day.
We're speaking with Mike McElhinney, Legislative Director from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, on our special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio, broadcasting live from the Inver Grove Heights Armory, which is going to be the official site of the State of Minnesota Veterans Day event coming up shortly. Starts at 10, and they've already started a free breakfast from 8:30 to 9:30. And coming up on this show, we'll have Senator Amy Klobuchar in the third segment, and the last segment will be the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash. Mike, back to you. We've been talking today about veterans. We're talking about veteran service organizations, the county veteran service officers. One of the things I found when I joined the VFW back in the early 70s is a World War II guy said, "Where's all the Vietnam guys?" And we eventually showed up, but not in as big a numbers as the World War II guys. Now we're hearing from the veteran service organizations, where are the guys from Desert Storm, Afghanistan, Iraq? Where's your generation?
Well, Tom, I think, I don't have any scientific evidence to prove this, but I believe a lot of them are taking advantage of the most robust a lot of veterans are coming back, and they're getting reestablished in society, and they're taking advantage of all the great programs that they've earned through their service. And I think it's going to take a couple of years to kind of evolve and get everyone to a point where they're comfortable with their careers, and their families are established enough to where they can kind of venture out and provide more to provide more service to the organizations, volunteer more, and so I think that's kind of we're just in a transition period right now, is my assumption.
As a lot of today's troops that come back, they're facing a tough economy, and they're a lot of them looking for jobs. Here in Minnesota, we've done a robust job of helping them look for jobs, and from what I hear from the Minnesota National Guard, it's worked out pretty well. But it is a good time they come back. The GI Bill is a lot different than it was when I came back from Vietnam. It's multifaceted now, isn't it?
Yes, Tom. There's several different chapters of the GI Bill that one can take advantage of, and those are the federal benefits. Like we said, very robust. And when those end, the state provides has a last dollar in program called the Minnesota GI Bill, and the governor was very supportive of that in the last few years to let that kind of evolve, and so all veterans now age 62 and below can take advantage of that particular program. As you mentioned, the economy is kind of going through some tough times, and so all veterans are potentially going through some tough times, and what the Minnesota GI Bill does will allow them to stay competitive and maybe get an extra certification to ensure that their employment continues. And so it's a really good program. A lot of stuff out there, and I think, again, it's just going to be a matter of time before my generation is much more active in the organizations. I think we're a generation of joiners. We're just not an active generation at this point. And you know, for me personally, you want to build some kind of credentials or credibility to so you have something to offer. You don't want to just show up and take space, if you will. You want to be able to offer and provide something to the fight.
Mike, we had your boss, the Commissioner Shelledo, on the second hour of the show, and he talks about two things a lot. He talks about, one, about bringing our veterans all the way home.
This is Up and At 'Em with Jack and Ben on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
You're listening to Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. We're going to try to get you back out to Inver Grove Heights as soon as we can. We're sorry for the technical difficulties. But let's take a listen to what the Red Bulls are doing in Bosnia.
Joining me now to talk about the deployment of the Minnesota National Guard Red Bulls to Bosnia in 2003 and 2004 is Brigadier General Bill Leader and retired Colonel Don Kerr. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Don.
General, can you tell us a little bit about your career? How long have you been in the military?
Sure, Tom. I've been in the Minnesota Army National Guard for 28 years. And throughout that, I've been a military police officer. Most recently in January of this year, being promoted to Brigadier General.
Congratulations on the promotion, General.
Thank you.
You've been deployed several times.
I have. I was in Bosnia, as you just mentioned, from 2003 to 2004. That was a total 10-month deployment. And then I was over in Iraq with the 1st Brigade Combat Team as a battalion commander from September 2005 until July of 2007.
You've had quite a career, General.
Yeah, thank you.
And Colonel Kerr, your background, sir, how long were you in the military?
Yes, sir. I served 29 years total federal service in the National Guard and 5 years on active duty, including that. And then 5 years ago, I retired, and I continue to work for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. So I still have a bit of a relationship with the Minnesota National Guard that I'm very proud of.
Different uniform, similar job.
Different uniform, kind of different job, Tom, but working with the same great people. That's what's really rewarding.
Welcome back to the special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio, broadcasting live from the Inver Grove Heights Armory, which is going to be the site of the State of Minnesota's Veterans Day event at 10 a.m. this morning, and people are gathering already. Sorry, we've had a little technical difficulties with our connection to the studio, but joining us now is Senator Amy Klobuchar. Senator, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks, Tom. I'm looking so forward to seeing you there, and I'm really glad you're broadcasting from the event. It's also such a special thing every single year, and it's great that you're there.
Well, everything was going well for the first couple hours, but we just ran into a little glitch here, but I'm glad we caught up with you. Ma'am, what does Veterans Day mean to you?
Well, for me, it means giving the troops the respect and dignity that they deserve, and remembering that while it is important to have Veterans Day, of course, we have to remember to act the same way every single day of the year. And that's what I've tried to do in Washington, with making sure that we've improved our veterans' health care. We put in the biggest increase, as you know, in history. And then looking at all these other issues that have come out of the recent conflicts with soldiers who've come home and not had jobs or had mental health issues or traumatic brain injury, and making sure at the same time we're taking care of, as you know, your friends served in Vietnam like yourself, as well as the Greatest Generation and others. There are so many veterans from different wars that we're continuing to make sure that we serve.
And, Senator, I know you're going to be joining us out here at the Emery Grove Heights Armory soon. You have a busy schedule today?
Well, I do. I'm also going to General Mills, where they, as you know, have the Medal of Honor winner there, sergeant who received the Medal of Honor for saving the lives of his squad during a Taliban ambush in Afghanistan. And he's there, so I'll be speaking there. And then I get to join my dad, who served during the Korean War, at an event at the Minnesota History Center about the Greatest Generation. So it's going to be a really good day, and I'm going to be able to use some of the stories just from even this year. I'll be talking about people that we've worked with. One of my most amazing events this year was giving the Purple Heart posthumously to a guy named Steve Dufek, who served in Vietnam, had shrapnel in his body until the day he died, and I was able to give the award to his family because he never told his family until he was dying that the paperwork had gotten messed up, and that it actually would be nice if he got the Purple Heart. And he'd been so humble his whole life, like so many other Vietnam vets. He didn't talk about his experience, so we're able to do that after the fact. So it's just one example of the heroes that we're going to be seeing and talking about today.
Senator, is there any special veterans legislation you've been working on recently?
Well, yes. I'm continuing my work on the benefit issue with Representative John Klein. We've got some issues with TRICARE that we're trying to fix. And as you know, he and I worked together to make sure the Red Bulls weren't getting their post-deployment leave benefits cut while they were over in Kuwait, and we got that done. So now we have a new challenge. And then I'm also working on a number of things with mental health issues. We've found out that, very sadly, a number of service members were misdiagnosed and discharged for personality and adjustment orders between 2001 and 2010. And no one, they never really had professionals reviewing their records. And a lot of them actually are, in fact, suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. And what happens when they're found to have a personality disorder, then they don't get help and the benefits. And so Congressman Walz and I have called for having those records reviewed, so we can make sure that they get the help that they deserve. So those are the few things we're working on. And as chair of the Joint Economic Committee on the Senate side, I'm also continuing to work on veterans' employment issues. And I had a hearing just a few months ago with some of our Minnesota companies about how we can continue. We've seen some improvement there, but we have to see even more, so we make sure that there's jobs awaiting our veterans.
Senator, the armory here in Emery Grove Heights is filling up. We're looking forward for you to coming out and visiting with us. And there's a lot of good veterans here waiting to see you when you arrive.
Well, I'm excited, and I love, of course, my favorite moment is not our speeches, as exciting as they are, but my favorite moment is the band and when all the vets stand up for the various service songs, and I'm looking forward to that.
Senator, thanks for joining us this morning on this special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio, and we'll look forward to seeing you shortly when you arrive at the Emery Grove Heights Armory for the official State of Minnesota Veterans Day event, which starts at 10 a.m.
Very good, Tom. See you there.
Thank you. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Up and Adam with Jack and Ben on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
Welcome back to our special edition, Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. We're broadcasting today from the Emery Grove Heights Armory, which is the location of the State of Minnesota official Veterans Day event, which starts at 10 o'clock. There's a free breakfast here that started at 1130, and the armory's filling up. Lots of dignitaries here, and we're talking about Veterans Day. Joining me now is the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash. General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning, Tom. It's great to be back with you again, and a great service you're providing on Veterans Day again this year.
Well, it's my pleasure, sir, and it's always fun to see you again and talk on the radio. Sir, we're talking about Veterans Day today, and I just wanted to play a clip from a very special veteran that joined us on the show a number of times over the years. And Adam, can you play that now?
If you can serve in the armed forces, I think it's one of the noblest professions that you can join. You are serving something bigger than yourself, much bigger than yourself. And that comes into stark focus when you're deployed overseas on behalf of the United States, for whatever reason we get sent there. As you well know, as a Vietnam vet, we don't get to pick the wars we get sent to. And so I encourage my own kids. I don't care. I would love it if you served in uniform, but I want you to serve your country. I want you to serve something bigger than yourself. At least give something back to this country for the gifts that you've been given in this life.
General, that was a clip from one of your officers, Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber, who we lost this year, but we had him on the show a number of times. He became a close friend. He really taught us and a lot of our listeners not only how to live, but how to die, and what an incredible gentleman.
Certainly, Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber and his great family, our hearts and prayers still continue to be with them. He was a man that really portrayed selfless service and humility, and certainly showed all of us the dignity and the honor that he portrayed to us as he faced his health issues in his final days. So again, our thoughts and prayers with the Weber family.
Really a great example of the quality and the commitment of our airmen and soldiers that are members of the Minnesota National Guard today.
That's correct, and it's a great day to be out here to recognize so many service members, current and past, and their families and their spouses who are here with them, and friends who have brought them over here if they've been unable to get here on their own. And so the facility at Invergrove Heights is filling up rapidly. They're certainly enjoying the breakfast that's being provided to them. So it's going to be a great day to mingle and to talk and to reacquaint ourselves with some of those from the greatest generations, Tom, here this morning.
General, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, been kind enough to put us on the air for the last 3 years, and they put us on the air Memorial Day and now Veterans Day. Memorial Day, of course, we think about all of those who gave their life serving their countries, but on Veterans Day, we think about all of our veterans. And what comes to mind for you on Veterans Day, sir?
Well, first of all, Tom, going back, I want to, as I mentioned, thank you for your service in the Vietnam era. And serving in Vietnam, but also the Clear Channel, the management of Clear Channel, now your vast array of 18 stations across Minnesota servicing our geographical areas where we have our Minnesota Air and Army National Guard and veterans listening to these programs that Minnesota Radio puts on. And it's just a great service, and it's been a quality program that you have, the great guests that you have, the information that's being put out to our veterans, their families, but also to our employers. Really is a great service, and I got to thank you for doing that, Tom. But your question going back about what it means for us here in Minnesota and our Minnesota Guardsmen, certainly it brings it home again today, because we have a little less than 500 that are currently serving around the globe, primarily in Afghanistan and Kuwait, and also...
You're listening to Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Sorry for the technical difficulties out at Invergrove Heights. As we mentioned earlier, we lost Colonel Mark Weber earlier this year. We had a chance to interview him through Minnesota Military Radio. We're going to listen to part of that interview right now.
Joining me now is recently retired Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber to talk about his military career and the incredible new book, Tell My Sons. Colonel Weber, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Colonel, can you tell us how old were you? How far back does your military career go, 20-some years?
Well, I've been in a military uniform since I was age 14. So I went to Creighton High School. And then I enlisted right out of high school in the Minnesota National Guard. And I did that for about 4.5 years while I went to college. That was a great experience. I was a military policeman right there in downtown St. Paul.
So you spent most of your adult life was in a uniform.
Yes, Yeah, and we, you know, back then we wore the uniform every day in high school. They don't do that anymore. So I feel like one of those old guys back in my day.
Well, it gets worse. And can you tell us a little bit about your deployments and where you were? And
yeah, so after I graduated from Minnesota State down at Mankato, I took a regular Army commission, married my wife actually 2 days before we went on to active duty, and we ended up serving in Virginia, Alabama, and that was a lot of fun. Being a Minnesotan in Alabama, stationed in Alabama, that was quite a treat.
Could they understand your English?
Well, my wife was leaving a class that she was at, and one woman came up to her and said, "You know, I just love your British accent." So apparently we sound British up here in Minnesota.
Darn Yankees.
And then we served in Missouri and then back to Washington, D.C., where I served in the Pentagon. Or the Pentagon area for about 4 years because I was deployed out of that area and then moved home to Minnesota for an assignment at the University of Minnesota, ROTC. And that was an effort to get closer to home because my father-in-law's cancer had come back kind of with a vengeance. And we were wondering if he was going to make it. He is still here, by the way. But I made a career choice at that point to try and get into the full-time Minnesota National Guard.
And so, I understand you had an interesting tour in Iraq.
Yes. What an understatement. I mean, even I'm still amazed at the experience. I was the military assistant to the Iraqi chief of defense, which is a fancy way of saying I held his bags.
And you learned a foreign language, as I understand.
Yes. Well, it was frustrating to speak English and to wait for a translator, or sometimes not have a translator. I mean, I've commented that I would have given up my guns and ammunition to be able to speak the language because that was more effective to me, you know, when I first got there than any weapon. And so I decided to learn Kurdish on my own, which is easy when you're embedded with them, when they're surrounding you every day, day and night. He's an Iraqi officer. He's in charge of the Iraqi armed forces, but he's from Kurdistan. He's from the Kurdish region. So that is his native tongue. And it just happens to be a lot easier to learn than Arabic. So I always tell people, and I'm sincere when I say this, that I learned Kurdish out of laziness.
Well, it was pretty effective in being a liaison with the general, wasn't it?
It was very effective. I mean, I knew that it would mean something a little more to him by learning his native tongue, but I had no idea. I mean, he still calls me his son. That was 6 years ago. And I actually just spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, and we stay in contact. And when he comes to the United States, I get a call to come visit, and I jump right on a plane and go see him.
And you were so successful as being the special liaison to General, is it Zabari?
Zabari.
Zabari.
Mm-hmm.
That you were noticed and they wanted you to go back to Afghanistan and do the same thing.
Yes. On the day General McChrystal was fired, General Petraeus took over and I quickly found myself in an email exchange with him asking me if I wanted to join the team. And, you know, a stuttering yes was the absolute reply. And
but at the same time, you went to get a physical.
Yeah.
And we want to play a couple of clips from you. Gave a speech on June 14th at the 237th Army birthday at the Minnesota History Center. And we want to play a couple of clips from that right now.
Now, before I begin, I'd like to introduce another person I brought with me tonight. If I don't introduce him, he's just going to bounce up and down behind me until I do. And based on the guest list, I know over half of you are here because of him and our relationship together. His name is Buford, and he's uninvited, and he goes wherever I go. Buford is stage 4 cancer. He's inoperable, and I found out just 2 weeks ago that the chemo that's been keeping him pinned down is no longer working. Now, I hate to sound morbid, but if you feel a chill in the air, it's because I've got another uninvited guest sitting in the back row. I don't know if some of you could hear him, but he's been impatiently tapping his feet against the floor this whole time. He does it to me all the time. His name is Death. And I mention him because I see him and I hear him at least once a month. and he whispers something in my ear that I'd like to pass along to each of you. And he says, live, because I am coming.
Welcome back to the Armory at Emerald Grove Heights, where the official Minnesota Veterans Day event is starting, underway. Breakfast is going. The program at 10. We've had some technical difficulties. Sorry, General. But we're here with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. And, General, we were talking about how many airmen and soldiers you had deployed and the fact that there's still about 500 of them out there. And we maybe don't get as much coverage of them as we did when the 2,700 Red Bulls were over in Kuwait.
You're right, Tom. We tend to forget that we are still mobilizing and deploying our great service members from Minnesota, both Army and Air, in the National Guard, as well as the reserve components that make up about 6,600 service members. And so it's certainly affecting their families. And it's not a great time to be deploying. It's never a great time, but it's certainly during the holidays over Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa to have their family members gone. But we have a great support organization in Minnesota, across Minnesota, and we'll have a organization that you know of, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, in all 63 locations where we have armories across Minnesota. That's a support network that can help those families in need. And certainly you're well familiar with the Minnesota Military Family Foundation that can also help out these members in time of need when something breaks down, when their service member, their husband or their wife may be deployed, and they can go reach out, seek out those grants for that washing machine, that dryer, that car, that roof repair. And the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization can help out with that snow plowing, the shoveling, taking care of kids while a mother or father has to go off and take care of shopping. So we have a great support network. So I would ask our citizens of Minnesota that support our great service members to reach out to one of those beyondtheyellowribbon.org organizations across Minnesota, find out how they could help out at least during the holiday season.
And, General, as you said, this holiday season there's about 500 airmen and soldiers deployed, and there's 500 families at home suffering and missing their loved ones. So what can our listeners do to help support your troops and their families?
Well, these organizations certainly put together the packages to send over. Schools write cards. They package them into a bundle. They send them over to organizations to be read. They can be generic to any service member, Army, Air, Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guardsmen, and they're red. And believe me, having been at the other end of that on two different occasions, they're passed around, and they're certainly deeply appreciated. And they can also put together packages from their towns. They can package those up, and they can call their local armory, and they get an address, an APO, and they can be mailed over to service members to be opened up during the holiday season. I would also ask them, you know, if they're renewing their license plates, to take a look at thinking about buying a plate. Great-looking, beautiful plates, support our troops. And that's another way to support us.
General, I'd like to thank you for joining us on this special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio, live from the Emerald Grove Heights Armory.
Thank you, Tom. It's been great to be with you.
For our listeners, please tune us in every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. This is a special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130.